Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Phillies Today. Kyle Forsini here with you guys for a half an hour, ready to talk all things Phillies. We had the Major League Baseball season open up today, which I feel like has flown under the radar and hasn't been talked about as much as it should be. Baseball's done this the last two seasons where they've done the, I believe last year was the series in Korea. This year they move it to Japan. Dodgers playing in both of those games last year against the Padres. Today, against the Cubs, that game is final. Dodgers won 4-1 over the Cubs. Starting pitchers in that game were Yoshi Yamamoto for the Dodgers and Shota Imanaga for the Cubs. Both of those guys had pretty strong outings, but I just think it's good for baseball to do that, to have the series in Japan where baseball is massive. They get to see their superstars in Yamamoto. They'll see Roki Sasaki tomorrow. They see Otani. Obviously, and Otani had two hits in this game and an RBI. They love to see that. It's good for baseball to have the game be showcased in other countries. I just think it's so bizarre, though. You know, and I get it, the time difference and whatnot, and they want these teams to get acclimated to the time in Japan. Then when they come back, they don't want to rush them into playing right away after that. So you can't really do this in the middle of the season like the Phillies did with London last season. But it's bizarre to me that they then come back and they play spring training games. Like, you go from playing two games that matter to then three games that don't matter. The Dodgers, for instance, play the on-deck series against the Angels. The Cubs come back and they just play regular spring training games. They play five spring training games after this. So that part to me is always bizarre. I don't know how the players like that. If, you know, you're getting up for one series, but then the ones you play after that don't mean anything. I don't know. It's weird. I feel like baseball should try to come up with a better way to implement this. You know, if you want to do this Japan series, find a better time of year to do it. It's weird to have it open up like that. But I understand that it's cool for Japan, people that live over there, and it's also cool for the athletes to go play in a different environment. All right, I digress. I just wanted to get that out of the way because baseball did start today. Dodgers are 1-0, Cubs are 0-1. And we are underway for the 2025 Major League Baseball season, where when the Phillies open up, they will have Zach Wheeler on the mound opening day, likely against, I don't know if it's been named yet for the Nationals, but likely against Mackenzie Gore for the Nationals. Mackenzie Gore, a highly touted prospect that I believe they got in the Juan Soto trade a couple of years ago. His last start against the Phillies was September 28th of last season, where he went six shutouts, struck out nine over those six innings in a 6-3 Nationals victory over the Phils that day. He's a guy that the Phillies have hit around a lot in their time against him. Usually, I feel like they're the ones getting the better of Mackenzie Gore versus the other way around. His last start against the Phils prior to that was August 17th, where he went 5 2/3 innings in that game and gave up five runs, nine hits. Did strike out six, but I mean, they tagged him for five runs over less than six innings, like a good outing for the Phillies offense against Mackenzie Gore. And it's felt like that's been more of the norm when they face him versus the other way around. I feel like the six shutout, not something that's usually in store for Mackenzie Gore against the Phillies. But anyway, that should be the opening matchup for the Phillies in that series. They have eight more spring training games until they finally get the season actually underway. They've been red hot, by the way, in the Grapefruit League over the last 2 weeks. Since March 8th, the Phillies only lost one game. You know, they tied the Tigers, which I feel like has happened multiple times throughout spring training. They have not played the Tigers well for whatever reason, but spring training, take it with a grain of salt. But they've been on fire since March 8th. So does that really mean anything? Does it mean we can look forward to anything happening once the regular season rolls around? I highly doubt it. I don't know that there's really anything that we can take from that other than if they were losing, we'd be saying it's spring training, but because they're winning, we're going to spin it and say, oh, they're red hot. Let's keep it going up until the season. But obviously, as you know, anything can happen once the big league season rolls around. A guy like Max Kepler, who has played phenomenal for the Phils so far in spring training, feel like he's been their best hitter all spring training, although Bryce Harper is hitting, I believe, 367 in spring training right now. Harper's been great. He hasn't had a lot of power, but I mean, he's been hitting the ball over the yard. Turner's finally started to heat up a little bit. I mean, he was like 0 for his first 17 or something. He was struggling out of the gate in spring training, but he's kind of figured it out. Nick Castellanos, another slow spring for him. Feel like that happens every single season. He's only hitting 111 in spring training, but you know, they've played well as of late. The pitchers have been good, which is nice to see, because a couple of weeks ago, Zach Wheeler and Jesus Luzardo started back-to-back games, each giving up, I believe, five or six runs in only two innings pitched. Luzardo pitched against the Orioles 2 days ago and went four innings, only gave up four hits, one run, six strikeouts in that game. So it was a really good outing for Jesus Luzardo. And then the start before that, Zach Wheeler faced the the Tigers in the game where they tied, went five innings, no earned runs, but two runs given up because of an Alec Boehm error in five innings, three hits, three strikeouts. So not a whole lot of strikeouts for Wheeler, but a pretty good start for him. So we are rounding into form. We are getting ready for the big league season to start for the Phils. And when it does start, once we finally do get to opening day, I want to just kind of run down some of the schedules. This is one of the main things that I want to talk about here on this episode, because I am the Fanatic fan. I'm the guy, you know, baseball is 162 games. It's a long season. You shouldn't be getting flustered over a game that happens in April or a game that even happens in May. I mean, the saying is don't check the standings until Memorial Day. I think most people would even expand that to don't check the standings until July 4th. In all honesty, I think even Memorial Day is a little early for the normal person to just be checking into standings and seeing what's going on. I am not that fan. I am the lunatic. I am, like, I'm sure a lot of you out there that are listening to this right now, if you were searching out Phillies podcasts and you want to listen to what the state of the team is, I am like you. I am the fan that when they lose a game on April 9th and they blow a three-run lead in the ninth inning, I'm freaking out saying this game counts just as much as the last game of the season does on September 30th. You know, you'll forget about this game, but if it comes down to one game at the end of the season, we're going to remember this, or we'll remind people who don't remember it. We'll make sure that they remember it. You know what I mean? So I'm like that. And the Phillies do not have an easy schedule to open the season. I understand, you know, they play the Nationals to start out. It's in Washington. It's going to be cold weather. They've got the built-in off day, Thursday off Friday, then they pick up again on Saturday. I get it. The Nats have not been good for the last, I mean, they haven't been good since they won the World Series in 2019. They have just completely fallen off a cliff. 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, all been terrible seasons for the Nationals. There is no denying that. They have not been a good baseball team since they won it. It's actually kind of a surprise to me that Davey Martinez is still their manager. But, I mean, obviously they've traded away a lot of talent that they've had, and they've kind of handicapped him and what he can do with his managerial capabilities. So maybe that's one of the reasons why they keep him around. But I can't imagine he can survive if they continue to lose at the clip that they've been losing over the past five seasons. I know, that being said, I think they will be a better team this year. I really do. And I don't want to say take that with a grain of salt, but also understand, I also said this last season, so I'm kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth here. I thought they were going to be good last year. They were terrible. They were even worse than they were the season prior. And now I'm saying I think they're going to be good this year. So am I just a Nats? Am I afraid of the Nats? No. But do I think that they have good young talent that can, you know, remember them back in like 2011. Phillies win the division. They win 102 games. Nationals are still a bad team, but they've got a lot of young talent. They had drafted Steven Strasburg recently. They had drafted Bryce Harper the draft prior. You know, like, they had young talent coming up in the minor leagues. They make the big signing of Jason Worth. Gio Gonzalez comes not too far after that. Like, they slowly built a winner in D.C., which I feel like could be coming now. So all I'm saying is don't take them with a grain of salt. They still might not have the greatest roster. They still might not have the greatest pitching staff or the best lineup, but they do have guys who can play and who I think, like Dylan Cruz, who was a draft pick of theirs 2 years ago, I think he was the second or the third pick in the 2023 MLB draft. And I think he's going to be their opening day right fielder. I mean, that seems like the way it's been trending. He hasn't had, he played 31 games last season, only hit .218. You know, he was a guy who made his major league debut last year. He didn't play a whole lot of baseball prior to that in terms, he had never played in the big leagues, obviously, but I think he's going to be a really, really good player for them. First round pick in 2023 out of LSU. Guy has all the talent in the world. He can hit for power. He's got the speed. He's an electrifying athlete. And the Phils are going to face him to open up the season. And I'm just saying, I have my reservations about what they've got coming for them when they go to Washington. Mackenzie Gore, who they've hit around, like I mentioned earlier, had a good start against them last time out. We'll see if the bats are able to wake up. We'll see if the bats will stop chasing. And I know that that's been a majority of an issue in the postseason, but that's just been a Phillies issue as a whole. And I'll touch on that in a couple of minutes. I still want to stick to the schedule real quick, because after they play Washington, they do come back home. They come back home, they play the Rockies, which is a nice kind of, it's a pretty nice home opener. It feels like every year they've got the Braves as the home opener or something. They play the Rockies as their home opener this season. So it should be a series that you're able to win. It should be a series that you can take advantage of in playing them, because after that, it doesn't get any easier. You play three against the Rockies to start, but right after that, April 4th through the 6th, they play the Dodgers, which to me feels like poor scheduling. To me, it feels like, why would you have them two, in theory, potential National League champion teams or two teams that could win their division or could very well face each other in the NLDS or the NLCS, why do you want them playing in the beginning of April? You know, and having the two teams not exactly know where they're at in terms of their footing as a team, they're not playing their absolute best. You would think you would want that matchup later in the season, the June, July, and August series, Phillies, Dodgers, nationally televised game, you know, Yoshi Yamamoto or Shohei Ohtani with Zach Wheeler on the mound or Jesus Luzardo, Aaron Nola, any guys like that. That's when I would think you would want that series, but instead they have it right out of the gate. So they play the Dodgers right as the season opens up. And then after that, they go right back on the road and they play Atlanta for three. So you're facing two very good teams, two teams who could really contend for the National League. Right out of the gate, April 4th through the 10th, schedule does not get easy. And then you go on the road and you play St. Louis after that. You play the Giants at home. So their month of April schedule, not as easy this year as it was last year. And look, baseball is kind of the ultimate, I don't want to say equalizer, but it's the ultimate sport where injuries do play a massive factor. Starting pitching plays a massive factor. If your starting pitchers go down injured, you might be having that sixth man in the rotation come in who's not very good, or you're bringing up the guy from AAA just to send him back down after the game, yada, yada, yada. Stuff like that when it comes to baseball. It's a long season. You don't need to hear that. You probably heard that ad nauseum. But their month of April schedule is just—it's simply not easy. Last year they got out to that hot start. They were like 40-19 at one point in the season last year. A great month of April, a great month of May, and then kind of just 500 baseball for the remainder of the season. And I think 2025 is a good barometer to see what this team truly is. Are they the team that was 40-19 last season, or are they the team that for the remainder of the season didn't play great baseball, kind of kept their head right at water level, didn't go too high, didn't go too low? They did have that stretch where I think they lost like 8 of 10 series or something, you know, from the All-Star break or right before the All-Star break until about early to mid-August. You know, they were really, really scuffling. And a lot of us wanted to believe at that point that that's not the team that they were, that they weren't some team that was going to just continue to lose games after losing games. And we couldn't get any sort of momentum or any positivity, you know, positive feelings toward this team. Are they that, or are they the team that was 40-19 prior to that? You know, are they the team that got bounced in the first round against the Mets, or are they the team that made the World Series run 2 years ago? 3 years ago, coming up now. It's crazy to think how long ago that World Series run actually was. But we're going to find out answers to those questions this year. And that, to me, I mean, I don't want to say that this, a lot of this really feels like it's a make or break season for the Phillies. You've got JT Realmuto, who's up for a contract extension after this year, or you're going to let him walk. You've got Kyle Schwarber, whose contract is up after this season. You're either going to re-sign him or you're going to let him walk. You've got Ranger Suarez, who's in the final year of his deal. You're either going to re-sign him or he's going to walk as well. So there are key cogs in the machine of the Phillies this season that if things don't go well, I would not be shocked if we're not seeing them on their roster again anymore. You know, I really wouldn't. Ranger kind of being culprit number one, I think, that with Andrew Painter potentially. And look, Ranger came out and said he wants to be a Philly for life. This is the organization that's had him since he called himself a kid. You know, this has been his team. This has been his city. This has been where he's played his baseball through his entire career up to this point. He doesn't want to go anywhere. Now, it's easy to say that money talks. If Ranger gets a big deal from somewhere, maybe he goes and takes that money as opposed to a hometown discount of trying to stay with the Phillies. But, you know, they didn't deal him in the offseason, so you're not going to be able to get much for him at the trade deadline if push comes to shove, likely a rental. But I also couldn't see the Phillies. I couldn't see them trading him anyway at the trade deadline. You would like to think that they're going to be buyers at the deadline, not sellers. And I think Ranger would be an important piece to your team, whether it be in the starting rotation or whether it be in the bullpen come postseason time. And we know how good of a pitcher he's been in the postseason every year that he's been here. I mean, he was coming out of the bullpen in 2022. Then he's a starter in 23. He's a starter again in the playoffs in 24. His ERAs in the postseason were 1.23 in 2022, 1.93 in 2023, and he had a 0 ERA in 2024. Obviously, only that one game against the Mets where he went 4 1/3, and didn't give up any runs. If he seemed like he was walking everybody in that game against the Mets, if you remember, and it was one of those games where the Phillies could have had 18 innings to play and they wouldn't have scored more runs than they did. That was just where the offense was at. It wasn't there. It wasn't going to be there. They couldn't get the job done. So, you know, but he's another guy who's potentially going to walk after this season. So that's why I say this is kind of make or break for the Phils. They've had so many chances with this core of guys that they have. 22 was the first breakthrough where they finally get to the playoffs and they make that magical run. But a lot of these guys have been together prior to that. I mean, this team kind of mirrors the 76ers in a way, where the Sixers have the, obviously, you know, tanking and the process, and they want to get the draft picks, and you want to get good players so then you can eventually win, and then they get Joel Embiid, and at one point they have Ben Simmons, and, you know, it's kind of been a rotating door for the Sixers of the cast that's going to come in and play with Joel Embiid, but the process never paid off. The Sixers never got out of the second round. It was every year they'd get there, they'd get bounced in the second round. Didn't matter if they were the 1, 3, 5, 7, 8, 9, 2 seed, whatever it is. You know, they were getting bounced in the playoffs and they weren't going anywhere past the second round. The Phillies have kind of been on that similar trajectory. Now, they haven't lost as many first or second round series as the Sixers have. They haven't been in the playoffs as consistently as the Sixers have. The Sixers made it, what, 7 or 8 years in a row just to get bounced early on in the postseason. But when the Phillies signed Bryce Harper, to me, that was kind of like the payoff of the process, if you will, for the Phillies. They were terrible for 10 years, really, before they got Bryce Harper. They were terrible for about 8 years. And then you sign the big free agent. Then you have that guy come in who seems like he's going to flip the switch of your franchise and you're going to be a contender again. But they weren't. You know, they bring in Harper in 19. They bring in McCutchen in 19. They bring in Gene Segura. They bring in JT Realmuto. But the payoff doesn't happen until 3 years later. But that's why, in my mind, they still do mirror the Sixers. And we just don't look at them in the same light because they haven't had as many postseason failures. But they had failures in the regular season prior to that. 2019, they were not good. 2020, they were terrible. One of the worst bullpen in the history of the sport outside of like the 1936 Phillies. You know, so they've had two of the worst bullpens ever. 2020 is one of those reasons why. 2021, you know, they're fake threatening to make the playoffs down the stretch that season before ending up not going anywhere and losing in one of the last series of the year to the Braves when the Braves ultimately go on and win the World Series. But they've had those failures prior to that as well. You know, they just, I guess we just didn't fully believe in them prior to that. We didn't think of the Phillies as the Sixers yet because they hadn't made the playoffs. They hadn't given us the postseason disappointment. They'd given us the regular season disappointment for like our entire lives, it's felt like. But they didn't have it actually when it came to the postseason. So, but that's why in my mind they mirror each other a lot. There's been so many failures with teams that you have felt like should be able to get over the hump, with teams that you would think should be able to go deeper than they have. And in a lot of ways, it's make or break for them this season. You know, it's are you going to do it now? Because if you don't do it now, this core ain't going to do it. I mean, you've got Bryce Harper for seemingly forever. You've got Trey Turner seemingly forever. Zach Wheeler is signed here for a few extra years at the end of his first deal. I think it was a 3 or 4 year extension he signed last season. I can't remember which one. I think it was a 3 year extension. That kicks in now. Aaron Nola signed a 7 year deal before last offseason. He's in year two of that. He's here for a long period of time. If you're going to do it with the core group of players that you want to do it with, that the Phillies have had no interest in changing that core, now is the time to step up and do it. Last year was you know, the most, I mean, I guess you could argue 22 and 23 were prime opportunities because of where they were. Obviously, World Series and within one game of going back in 2023. But as it relates to Major League Baseball as a whole, last season was the time to do it. You were the best team in baseball for a large majority of the season. The Dodgers were crippled with injuries for a large portion of the year. The Braves, crippled with injuries for a large portion of the year. The Mets were a laughingstock until about the month of July when they became the best team in baseball. So if there was ever an opportunity to find a way to win the World Series, it felt, in my mind at least, like it was 2024. I kept saying it all season long. You know, you've got stuff that isn't normally going to happen in your favor. You've got teams just falling apart at the seams due to injury. And if you're going to, you know, you're mostly healthy. You've had Harper on the IL for maybe 2 weeks, Turner on the IL for maybe a month. But outside of that, I mean, guys just weren't injured for the Phillies. Your rotation was healthy. And they weren't able to get the job done. So now I look at 25 and I say, if you're going to do it, now's the time to do it. We don't want to wait anymore. We don't want to have to label you the 76ers, even though some might already have. We don't want to have you start out 40 and 10, but nobody believes in you because we all saw what happened last season. We saw the decline. We saw the collapse. We saw you falter in the second half of the season and not be the team that you were to start. But we also don't want 2022 and 2023. We don't want to watch you go 21 and 29 when entering the month of June, and then have to have June Schwarber come and wake everybody up, and then finally you can squeak your way into the playoffs at the last minute. It's a lose-lose for the Phillies, it feels like, going into this regular season. It's like a get-me-to-the-postseason feeling for a lot of fans. Get me to the playoffs and let me see if you can stop chasing pitches. Get me to the playoffs and let me see if the bullpen cannot be the worst in baseball at the most inopportune time. You know, that's where we're at as a fan. And they've done that to themselves. I mean, obviously, we didn't want to put this label on them. We didn't make them do this. Fans go out and show their support. Fans go out and do their part. We don't want to have to label you this, but this is what it's becoming. So 2025, in my opinion, is a do-or-die season for the Phillies. I mentioned Kyle Schwarber earlier. I don't know that I want them to extend him before the season starts, because if you extend Schwarber before the season starts, and if he's Schwarber is just turned 32, so it's not like, you know, he's going to have the decline yet, but you sign him for 3 years for a high AAV, higher than what he's earning right now, which is, I believe, somewhere in the $20 million a year range. You know, you sign him for higher than that, you just keep clogging up your payroll for guys that can't get the job done. That's not going to please a lot of people. So the Phillies find themselves in a weird spot where I almost feel like they want to keep negotiating with Schwarber and his camp during the regular season, but they want to see how things play out first. They want to make sure that, okay, this is a season where, yeah, he hasn't had the decline yet. This team is still a consistent winner. They can still win 90 to 95 games, get us another opportunity at the playoffs before they have to abandon ship on some of these guys. JT, I think they abandoned ship on him. I know that he's talked a couple of times about how, you know, there's been some talks, there's been some words about a potential extension, which just feels crazy to me. I mean, I know they don't have anybody ready in the minor leagues to go. Eduardo Tate's still really young. He's not going to be in the major leagues anytime soon. Garrett Stubbs, forget about it. Rafael Marchand's kind of your only other option right now for an everyday major league catcher. And obviously, I think JT is better than Marchand. I think Marchand can be good with experience, but they're in a weird spot. They're in finally a position where if things don't go the way they want to, they don't want to have themselves already locked into deals with some of these guys. And I'll tell you, the fan base will be up in arms, and rightfully so, if these guys are locked in to contracts going forward when the team has not gotten the production they should, when the team hasn't had the postseason success that a lot of people feel like they should have had. So it's an interesting scenario the Phillies find themselves in, whether or not they add more years at the end of Schwarber's contract, whether or not they re-sign JT. And JT, I could see them trying to bring him back for like a year if they're going to do it at all, but I don't know that he'd be open to that. I know he says he loves being here, but we'll see what Dombrowski does. It's crazy to me that we are, today is now March 18th. Opening day is March 27th. We are 9 days away from the Phillies season kicking off, and it doesn't feel like we're that close. It's kind of crazy that we are, but those are some of the questions that I just have about this team entering the 2025 season. But a lot of that is going to be answered in the coming days, in the coming months. Hopefully we find them at the end of the season in the playoffs, and hopefully having a chance to go win a World Series. And it's a better postseason run than they experienced last season. All right, that's going to do it for me on this edition of Phillies Today. We've got one more show until the regular season starts. I'll be with you. We'll be talking all things opening matchup, opening day, with the Phillies next week when they take on the Nationals. We'll talk about Wheeler. We'll talk about Mackenzie Gore, what the Nationals could throw at the Phillies, what the Phillies are going to do to the Nats. It's very exciting. It's a great time of year. We can finally fully turn our attention to baseball because it feels like it's here. Spring training only scratches the itch so much. It's cool to see. You want to see the guys down there, but the games don't matter. And when you're watching guys you never heard of hitting home runs, it's cool. It's fun. You think, oh, well, what if this guy comes up and contributes in July? You know, but the real deal, the real regular season starts coming up here. And I couldn't be more excited. I'm sure you couldn't be more excited as well. That's what we're going to talk about coming up next week. Make sure you stay tuned for that coming up on next Tuesday. Until then, have a great rest of your week. Keep watching Phillies spring training baseball. Only 8 games left in spring training until the regular season starts. And if you're still craving regular season baseball, don't worry. The Japan series continues tomorrow, 6 a.m., Dodgers Cubs, Justin Steele versus the rookie Roki Sasaki for the Dodgers. So you get to watch a major league debut, which will be pretty cool. All right, have a great rest of your week, guys. Go Phillies as always, and excited for next week to finally detail and go in depth on a regular season Phillies matchup. Take care.